Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, let's take a look at a subject that is super important in Scripture and is very much thought about in your lives, namely the idea of perfection. Do we have any perfectionists in the congregation today? Anybody that is striving to be perfect in all things, to keep a certain standard of living to the point that you walk by this banner and you're like, oh wait, you adjust it slightly if it's out of place. Do you fear the failure of not being perfect and getting to perfection? And big question, do you fear that God is angry with you because you are not perfect in all things? Let's take a look and see what God would teach us about this today, because we're always feeling this striving for perfection, both in ourselves and for the people all around us. We want them to be perfect, at least according to our own minds. We want the world perfect. What does God tell us today about perfection? The Lord to his people. Well, first of all, here's something we can really rejoice in to start out, is that our God in heaven above is perfect. Let's read that and rejoice in it here. This is the word of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. He says, I'll proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and right is he. So, perfection is very important to God because he himself is perfect. If we look over at the New Testament, this is John the Apostle, and he's one of the men, of course, who walked with Jesus personally for 3 years of his ministry. And he says, this is the message that we have heard from him, in other words, from Jesus about God. And we proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 100% perfect, pure light, pure love, pure righteousness, pure power, pure truth is our God. Do you rejoice in this with me? That's a fantastic word to start out. Not only is he perfect, but his word is perfect. Look over here at Psalm 19. We read in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So if you think about the word that proceeds from his mouth, not only is he perfect, but his word is all-powerful, nothing crooked, nothing perverse, straight, true, and strong is his word. 100% purity, like a mountain stream, and better. If you think about where God lives as well, what's heaven like where he lives up above? Where is he, by the way? Up there, above the firmament, on his throne. And we can read about that place in Psalm 50. Verse 2 says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. So God's place up above, Zion, perfect, perfection in beauty. There is nothing unclean, nothing out of place. Not a shadow or a shade where he is. It is perfect in every respect. That's God's home. Sounds like a pretty perfect God to me. And we can rejoice in his perfection as David did when he said this in 2 Samuel 22. This God, his way is perfect. The promise of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Do you rejoice in this with me today? Say amen.
Amen.
How about in this one? This might be a little more intimidating for you. How about perfection in you? Let's see what Jesus says about that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. He says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So does God demand of us perfection? He does. You must be perfect. 100% without any flaw. Does that intimidate you or does that excite you? I think for a lot of us, that'd be exciting. Yeah, God wants to be perfect. All right. But at the same time, it's kind of like, oh boy, am I in trouble. Because this is the standard and I'm way down here. I certainly am not perfect. Uh-oh, is God angry with me because I'm not perfect and I'm a failure? Uh-oh. What are we going to say to that? Well, it can be a very scary verse. I've taken it to be very scary in a lot of ways because I know I fall short. But what is Jesus actually talking about here when he says, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect? Well, here's some good news. He's not talking about the perfectionism that is practiced by the world, by believers and unbelievers alike, where everything has to be perfect in all outer ways. And who would be the quintessential, supreme, primo example of perfectionism in the world? Well, Ken and Barbie. Right? We are trained. We are taught from childhood, you've got to look like this. That the guy has to be young and strapping and have six-pack abs and here in his swimming suit and he waves and all the girls go, oh. And here's Barbie. If you want to try to be this, good luck. She's supposedly perfect. She's without a blemish. She's young. She's sexy. And always perfectly dressed, always perfectly manicured. Everything is just perfect with her. And so you put these two together, and that's what the world says is you should be striving for. You got to have the perfect looks. You've got to be young and handsome or young and sexy. You've got to have the perfect house, the perfect car. There can't be a ding in your door. You've got to have everything perfectly put away. Everything has to be neat. You've got to have the perfect yard. You've got to have the perfect children such that they always get A's on tests. They're always 100%, 100% of the time. They've got to be college graduates and have fantastic careers and go on perfect vacations and everything is perfect, perfect, perfect. And you strive for this and you think this is what you should be and God's angry with you if you're not these things. Is that what Jesus is talking about here? That he wants you to be like Ken and Barbie, looking perfect in all outer things. Let's see what Jesus is actually really talking about here when he talks about perfectionism with you. Let's go back to that same chapter where Jesus calls us to be perfect, commands it. Here's the context. A little earlier in the chapter, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, etc. And then he comes to, you must be therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So what kind of perfection is God looking for in you and in me? Not the outward Ken and Barbie perfection, the perfect house, the perfect yard, the perfect 100% on everything, but the inner things. God wants you to be perfect in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, as he is. For the word Jesus uses here for perfect is teleos in the Greek, which means that you be completely blameless. That you be, as James says, unspotted from the world. Or as Paul says, that you reach full maturity and manhood in Christ. Full adulthood. Perfect in every inner quality. That you be perfect in your knowledge of the truth and in faith and in holiness. And especially in the faith that flows out into love. For he says in Colossians, he says, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So the things God is after is not Ken and Barbie outside, that you never have a wrinkle on your forehead, that your car is always perfect. I mean, do you guys get upset at that? He's calling you to be perfect on those things that are inside you. For the Lord sees not as a man sees, as we hear in 1 Samuel 17 or so. He says, for he looks on the heart. That's what he's after. This kind of looking like me, he says. So let me ask you a question. Does that sound like good or bad news to you so far? Well, I think so far it's fantastically great news because guess what? God sets you free from the perfectionism that is in the world that is so crippling to so many of us. Some of us get all in a tither if this banner is slightly askew and we got to go fix it. Otherwise, it's not perfect. What if someone, you go outside here today and someone has a ding on your car? Oh no, it's not perfect anymore. Or oh no, I'm getting older. There's gray hair showing up. Oh my goodness, imperfect, you think? You know, we can set up a standard for ourselves in our jobs or our lives or our children or things around us or the world. It's standards up here. And you know what the problem with that is? You're never going to get there in this life. Perfection on the outer things. Because there's always going to be problems. And it's so freeing to think that you don't have to be perfect. That you can actually have failures. That everything outside, you might have a crappy car. That you might not always have a great day at work. But that God doesn't consider you a failure. He's working on the inside of you. You know, if you go around with perfectionism and you always have to be perfect in everything and everything has to be great, guess what? You're setting yourself up for a life of total disaster. Because it's like, I was thinking this morning, like chaining a pit bull aggressive to your ankle and dragging it around with you. He snarls, he growls, he snaps, he bites you and makes you bleed every day. Because no matter what you do, it was never good enough, it was never high enough and perfect enough. And so God, therefore, must be angry with you, and so you're destroyed in your faith as well. Because you're striving for a perfectionism that's from the world. Ken and Barbie, gotta look like these Cosmo and GQ people, or you just ain't making it. Well, God says, forget these people. Sorry, Barbie, I'll pick her up. I feel very bad about that. But God says, throw them out. That's not the kind of perfectionism I'm after here with you. It was so freeing to me when I watched that Jesus movie some years ago. And Jesus, they didn't mean this, I don't think, but he stumbled on a rock as he's walking through the desert, just slightly for half a split second. And I don't think they meant anything by it, but I took great note of that. I'm like, look, even he probably stumbled on a rock. He wasn't perfect. Maybe he was. Maybe he's never stumbled on a rock. But maybe he stumbled on a rock. But that's not the righteousness God's after. Jesus was perfect in his heart, his soul, his love toward others, his faith. That's what God's after with you. You don't have to be perfect in those outer things for God to love you. He's not after that. So how do you feel so far? A little better? Well, you might say, still problem here, Pastor, because you said I need to be perfect on my inner life, like the Beatitudes say. Pure heart and all those things, but I know that I have struggles. I know that in my flesh there still sin dwells. I know I still have these terrible thoughts that cross my mind, or a bad word slips out of my mouth occasionally. What am I to do of this? Is God angry with me because I'm not yet perfect? Well, what does God tell us about that? First of all, understand this, that perfection is the work of the perfect God for you, first off, because he knows you're imperfect. He knows all of us. At one time, the Bible says we were enemies of God. We were evil. We were dead set against him. And yet God says, I'm going to come and do something about that so that you will become acceptable to me. If you are in sin as the world and you are unsaved, you are imperfect. And if you're imperfect and that's not corrected, you are doomed to failure, namely to hell and to death. God says, watch this. The perfect God says, do something perfect for the world. What did he do? He sent his only begotten son, his perfect son, into the world to be a perfect sacrifice for our sins that they might be forgiven and you might be reckoned as perfect through faith in him. Think about that. Think about that. We read in the Bible that what kind of a sacrifice does God accept? You tell me. Here's a cue, a little hint. It's the word we've been talking about. When anyone offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to fulfill a vow or a freewill offering, says Leviticus 22, from the herd or from the flock to be accepted, it must be perfect, God says. There shall be no blemish in it. What kind of a sacrifice does God accept? Only a perfect sacrifice. What do we see in Jesus Christ? He was like us in every way, except sinning. Peter says, you were purchased with his own blood, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Perfect, perfect son comes to die for an imperfect people by giving himself as a perfect sacrifice, that you believing on him might have your imperfect sins taken away and perfection be reckoned to you, gifted to you, counted to you by faith in the perfect Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's read that. In the Hebrews chapter 7, let's turn there. Notice how often the word perfection, by the way, comes up in the Bible when it comes to getting saved. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek? In other words, the old covenant was, I mean, we need to be made perfect. But this verse says the old covenant priest couldn't do it for you. That's why the Bible spoke of a greater priest to come who is going to make you perfect before God's eyes. Listen to this. I turn a page to the right. Hebrews 9 verse 11 says, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent. Say perfect tent. What's that? Heaven. Not into an earthly tabernacle, but into heaven. Made of hands, not of this creation. In other words, heaven. Jesus entered once for all into the holy place. That's heaven. Taking not the blood of bulls and calves, goats and calves, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. So we have a priest, friends, who's gone into heaven with a better sacrifice than blood of bulls and goats, which can't take away sins, his own blood, to give us a perfect salvation, that you believing on him might be counted as perfect before God through faith in him. In other words, covered with his righteousness. Here, I closed the Bible too soon. Let's go to the next page. Hebrews 10, verse 14 says, for by a single offering, he, that is Jesus, has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Think about that. Jesus, by once offering himself on the cross, for all time into eternity, has perfected, made perfect, those who are sanctified. In other words, those who've believed on him. So am I looking at perfect people out there today? Y'all have troubles, I know. None of us have attained it internally in terms of how great we are in acting and everything, but we have a perfection that has been gifted to us. For his sake, says Paul, I've suffered the loss of everything and counted all as garbage in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So in other words, he has covered you, who are still imperfect, with his righteousness and perfect salvation. So are you perfect already? In God's eyes, he looks on you as acceptable. Acceptable. And I'm not angry with you because you've believed on my son. Let's take a look at this one, though. You might say, but I still have trouble with that because I'm not yet perfect on all my insides. Like the Beatitudes, like you were talking about, I still sin. Is God angry with me because I'm not yet totally perfect in all my thoughts and actions? Well, let's consider this. How about women out there? Have you ever given birth? Anybody been a mother? All right. Very good. Congratulations. Did you give birth to a high school graduate? Maybe eventually, but not at the time of birth. When you give birth to a baby. We open up and we read about our salvation. When we get born again, Peter says, like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. So in other words, God knows that when you're born again into Christ, you're perfectly covered in Christ's salvation, but you're not yet perfect in your mind and in your thoughts and in your heart and your actions. But he's growing you up in those things. Is God angry, therefore, with you because you're a baby and you're not yet totally adult? Well, think about this. When Naomi was born, March 24th, 2000, she did not come out with a cap and gown. That would have been very difficult for Beth. Very difficult. And the diploma, I don't know if it would have made it. But she came out as a helpless little naked baby. Beth takes her up in her arms, loves her, feeds her milk, and then delights in every stage of her growth. If you think about a father, I'm not a perfect father. I'm an imperfect man. And yet we're talking about relating to the Heavenly Father. If I can do this, how much more God? Naomi was born on March 24th. On March 25th, did I hand her the keys to the car? Was I angry with her? What's the matter with you, Naomi? You can't drive a car yet? I'm so angry with you. Of course not. I loved Naomi's every stage. By day two, I was happy she got to day two. God's the same thing with you. When you're growing up, he's happy at each stage. He delights in you. He's working on you. You are works in progress. Just as an earthly dad is not angry because his child's growing up, he expects that to happen. God is not angry with you that you're not yet perfect. He's growing you up in these things into the full image of Jesus Christ. For he's predestined us, says the Bible, to be conformed into the image of his Son. That's what God is after. Now, Naomi, when we were in Pennsylvania, made her very first words. You want to know what that first word was? It was, buh, 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 buh. And I remember, I was so delighted. I'm like, Beth, did you hear that? She just went, buh, 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 buh. Now, if she's 25 and still going, buh, 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 I got a problem. But at that stage, I was so excited. I'm like, hooray, good job. I remember when she was first learning to ride her bike over there in Bacora by the high school. Remember our house over there? And I was running along behind her, holding her seat so she didn't fall. And she got to a point, she's good enough, I could just let go of the seat. And she goes on her own. And I'm like, go, Naomi, go. And I'm running right next to her. And she's like, I'm doing it, I'm doing it. And a car goes by, good job. That's like the angels. When you're growing up and the dad or father says, now you can do this, now you can do this, the angels are going, hooray, go for it. And you're like, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. In other words, my point is he's not angry with you if you're not yet perfect in everything. So don't get into this whole mindset of like everything has to be just so or God is going to throw me out. We want to be growing up in him quickly, of course. But remember, we all make many mistakes, says James. And if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. We all make many mistakes, amen? Amen? I may be preaching to you and not give you the perfect sermon. All right? I'm a jar of clay, of mud, into which God has poured his jewels. But if I preach Jesus Christ, it's a home run in God's eyes. Even if my style is not always perfect. It's perfect in his sight if we are living for Christ and growing up in him. Paul said of his progress this, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own as Christ Jesus has made me his own. Children are always in a rush to grow up, aren't they? You know, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And you got to bring them in stages. Well, we might be rushing to want to be just like Jesus, and that's good. Go for it. I want you to do that. God does. But don't be so upset at yourself if you're not quite there yet. You're a work in progress. You're not a failure. God, your Father's raising you up to be like him in all things. If you sin, yes, repent. But don't despair that God's cast you off. Learn his joy. Bah, 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 bah. I was happy with that. God's happy with you. Keep growing in him until you get to that place and all the way up. He's rejoicing all the way. For check this out. When it comes to perfection, you are his workmanship. Perfection is God's work and artistry in you. You are a masterpiece that God is still working on. He's not upset that you haven't quite gotten there yet. Remember those people that draw these big things on, and you're like, what on earth is the guy doing? It looks like a big mess. It's like, oh, terrible. And he turns it around, and it's like, oh, that's a picture of Christ. Same thing with us. And Jesus Christ, in the meantime, has displayed his perfect patience, says Paul, a persecutor of the church, in me as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life, that God is perfect in his patience as you're growing. He's a good father, a good, good father. And so he's covered you with his perfection while you're imperfect, so that you are acceptable, That's number one. Number two, he's working it in you by his Spirit daily to make you more and more like Christ. That's number two. That's fantastic. And thirdly, he is bringing you to a place and a destination of perfection. For according to his promise, says Peter, we're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. You're going to be perfect, not only internally, but externally as well. When the perfect comes, says Paul, the imperfect is all going to pass away. We're going to be perfect in our minds. We're going to be finished as a work in our hearts, in our spirits, in our souls, and also your looks. You're going to be perfect. You're going to be better than Ken and Barbie. Okay? You're over on the floor there. God is going to make you look perfect, feel perfect, have all energy, and be perfect in every relationship. You're going to be sown, you're sown perishable, you're raised imperishable, sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power, promises the scriptures. And soon and very soon, God is going to make it so that the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. A perfect world. He's a God of perfection, and he's going to finish that work in you. And as you wait for that perfection, for the master to finish this beautiful masterpiece he's painting in you of Christ, what are we supposed to do? Grow up in him, cling to his word, etc. But thou dost keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Just keep your eyes on the Father who loves you in Jesus Christ. As he changes you, he's going to keep you in perfect peace because you trust in him. And he will begin a good work in you. He's going to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He doesn't finish off and leave off halfway done. He's going to finish what he started inside of you. And that work is perfection. So, conclusion here. I don't want you to be guilt-ridden your whole life. Don't be like dragging around a pit bull of perfectionism that's going to snarl and growl and bite you every day because you're not good enough. You're not good enough. And you're a failure. You're not a failure. God says, you're not a failure. I'm not done with you yet. I'm happy over your delightful growth. You're not a failure. You're just an unfinished masterpiece. Let me say that again. You're an unfinished masterpiece. I cover you with perfection in Christ. I'm working perfection in you. And I'm bringing you to a perfect world where you'll rejoice in that and in me forever. So, let's give praise to God and with joy say with David, this God, his way is perfect. The promise of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Amen.